Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I was afraid we weren't going to be on because I hear everything is snowing back at the headquarters for our show. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today. Oh, I mean, people are running around. They're shopping, they're eating, they're drinking, they're doing everything they can to make themselves happy. But hey, our topic for today is, can the dead enjoy Christmas? Well, of course they can, but the Bible says, and let the dead bury the dead. So right now we have a lot of people that are not celebrating Christmas and the Christmas holiday weekend because they are all about me, 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 I. Yeah, I love God, but yeah, I love the Lord, but yes, I'm saved by the blood, yes, but are they really enjoying what is called the birth of Christ, 2,000 years fast forward? We're going to explore that today. You know, God expects and demands worship in spirit and in truth. And if we're not honoring the God child because we have other things in mind, we're honoring others that have nothing to do with God. We're trying to talk to people about God that have no inkling or issue to serve and worship this God. But can dead folk, those just walking around for drinking and something to eat and to go to the bathroom at nighttime, or whenever they go, can the dead really enjoy Christmas? Well, first of all, let's talk about this thing called Christmas. We have Colonel Harrison on the line. He's been with us for almost 300 episodes. But hey, you guys, we're going to talk about a little bit of a change right after we have our session. But right now, let's identify what Christmas is. Colonel Harrison, your minister, you have several in your church that I'm sure are going to be talking about Christmas. Oh, I got to eat this for Christmas. I got to go buy that for Christmas. Oh, I got to look like this for Christmas. What are we talking about when we talk about enjoying Christmas? What is
good
Christmas?
Morning, Dr. Cuffin. Yes, good morning, Dr. Cuffin, and the listening audience. What we talk about when we talk about enjoy Christmas, there has been mixed reviews from a spiritual point of view as to whether Christmas is the birthday of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the true and living God, God Jehovah. So some celebrate Christmas and some don't. But the majority of the people celebrate Christmas, even though there are teachings in the Greek Bible, or the Christian Bible, and some of the others that indicate that Jesus' birthday was a different time of the year other than December, which is a traditional calendar Christmas. So Christmas becomes a time of celebration, a time of gift given, a time of joy, a time of happiness, and a time of fellowship with family and friends. And so the spirit of Christmas has been upon us, when I say upon us, upon the people of the earth for the past 2,000 years. And so that tradition is in place now, and in the 21st century, we're still celebrating the belief that Jesus was born as a baby in the month of December over 2,000 years ago.
Right. Well, that's a very good example. But exactly what is Christmas? What does the word Christmas mean? What can we tell the listening audience about Christmas? What is it? What is it? I hear the word, and I see Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T.
Yeah.
I believe that's referring to Jesus Christ. So what is Christmas according to believers, non-believers, those that say, I love God? What really is Christmas in the eyes of the world?
Yes, Christmas is divided into two syllables. The first word, Christmas, means Christ, and meaning Christ, and the translation of M-A-S, is for us. Christ for us. Christ was born for mankind. Christ is the Savior of mankind. Christ is the Lord of mankind. So it's about Christ, and that's why it begins with C-H-R-I-S-T, Christmas, which means and stands for Christ, and M-A-S is translated to mean for us, meaning for mankind.
Right, very good example. So what we're talking about when we say, oh, come and adore him, oh, come. When we talk about Christmas, we're talking about the symbolism of embracing the one whom God sent forth to bring salvation to man. And we know it, at the time of Christ's coming, out of the precious womb of Mary, there were people that were following a star. They said, showed up in the east. We're going to go and worship this one that is coming forth to become the salvation or savior of the world. We're going to go. And so these three, what some might call the Magi, they traveled, they came. So the aspect of Christmas is to worship the one whom God sent forth. And of course, at that time, he was worthy of gifts of frankincense and myrrh. So that was the start of what we know as Christmas. I say, well, how did it get started? Where did it get started? And when we talk about the Magi bringing all these expensive gifts, and they bowed down, oh my God, and they said angels were singing above their heads, we know that this one called the Christ was born in a manger, and the manger really is the clue to the word called Christmas and, of course, the worship of this one whom God sent forth to bring salvation. He was born in a manger, lowly manger. Okay, you guys, whatever you're doing, I'm going to get you off this line. You got to be muted. I'm going to mute you. You won't be able to hear or talk. If I hear any more noise, I'm going down the dashboard to see who really is creating noise in the background. But Jesus came born in a manger. We're going to talk about at the beginning of the year why he was born amongst animals, why he was, I know if he was a big-time celebrity, they'd have had him up in some temple, but he, the one who God sent forth, hallelujah, was born in a manger. You guys, when you get a chance, look up the word manger and see if that describes you at any point, born in a manger. Mary having to sip water out of an animal trough. We're going to get into that. But the dead, people that don't know the story of Christmas and what and why. I wish I knew that was creating the noise. I just wish, I swear to God, I wish I knew it was. Listen.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And he's already proven that with you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that is. I wish I did. Can you identify yourself or hang up? Or hang your phone up.
Now. The kids are in. Well, they're home, but the mother.
I mean, they're going to be going to Disneyland.
Yeah. They're coming up. Do you want to go ahead,
Colonel Harrison, are you still there?
Yes, yes, I'm still here, Doc. I hear the same interference as well.
I'm muted,
and I think that's what has happened.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to. Georgia Gregory, is that your line?
I think it is.
Is it her line?
It sounds like her voice, so Dr. Cupton.
Okay, I just took her off. Thank God for that. Excuse me, everyone.
Yes.
Okay, now let's get back to the dead. Who comprises the dead, the spiritually dead? Because that's who we're talking about. We know a dead man in the mortuary is not going to enjoy Christmas. So we're talking about the spiritually dead. Colonel Harrison, the spiritually dead, is there any way they will be able to even worship God in spirit and in truth?
No, the spiritual dead will not be able to worship God's spirit and truth because they have no knowledge of God. Spiritual dead meaning people, human beings, who have not accepted God's Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus truly, the Bible teaches, was and is the Son of God. So in order to be spiritual alive, one has to accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as the personal Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that there's no way under the sun in which mankind can be saved other than in, by, and through the name of Jesus Christ. And you can find reference to that in Romans. You can in the Bible, you find reference to it in John 14:6 and so forth and so on. So spiritual dead are those who are unsaved, those who haven't accepted Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior.
That is very true. Now, what about those that proclaim, well, I'm in church every week. I hear what the pastor is saying. I kind of know where the pastor might live. What about those that are spiritually dead, but they're able to talk and walk and create a facade of worship to the one called Jesus Christ? Are they included in the dead?
Let me explain that, if I may, Dr. Capitina, this way. Those in the church that have saved, who have accepted Jesus Christ as the personal Lord and Savior, I like to refer to them as the book of Revelation does in the Bible, call them lukewarm. It means they're saved, they're in the church, they're physically in the church, they're worshiping on a regular basis on Sundays or whenever their worship day is, but they're not on fire doing any works for God's kingdom, such as witnessing to other people, telling them about who Jesus is and who God is. And so they are lukewarm. They're worshipers. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is, but they're contented just being the way they are and not witnessing and not doing any other works for the kingdom of God here on earth.
Oh, you know what? I love that explanation. But no, here, I'm going to have to drop this bombshell. When you mentioned they're saved, I don't know what, and this is from another religion that I used to be in, and of course the ministers could not give a sane answer, but you talk about saved. How can a person be saved when the scripture says even faith that would come to lead anyone to salvation? A faith without works is dead. So a person that's saved, whatever that means, and we need to, I think, Nurian, write that down because you are a minister. What does it mean to be saved? I think we really need to go into the year with that. I'm looking for a pen. I'm going to write it down too because, you know, a lot of people get this thing wrong. The dead is not supposed to sit up in the church and just say, yay. They're supposed to come in there to learn the way and the will of God and then to exercise that will with works. Faith without works is dead. Ain't no need of me keep running into these places of worship, which I honestly don't, and just get them walk out. So now you have touched on a point, and I see all the hands because we on to something now. What does it mean to be saved? Hey, you guys, put your hands down. Colonel Harrison's going to be on at the beginning of the year. But a person, and you mentioned they're lukewarm. Either they are on fire for God or they're not. That led to seeing church back in Revelation, fit that particular rendition. But a person that, and I know we kind of diverse from this, can the dead enjoy Christmas, but what are they saved for? Bam. And, you know, I would go from door to door by request to the ministers, and you know, I know they would say, and then I would say, well, what are they supposed to be saved for? If they're not doing works here, are they supposed to die and miraculously go to heaven, and then they get some kind of paper set, and they say, okay, that's a very difficult topic to really deal with, and I think it has not been dealt with. That's why so many churches are closing up. Don't nobody want to be bothered with them. I mean, I could really jump into that full speed ahead. But right now, when we talk about a person in the church that's sitting there, they lukewarm, are they really saved? Are they really someone that God would say, okay, you know, I'm going to accept you as you are? A lot of the churches have gotten away with that, and they see they have failed there. Oh, Jesus said, just come as you are. Come on in a whoremonger, come on in a fornicator, come on in an adulterer, come on in a thief, come on in a liar. I mean, we could go on and on and on with those adjectives, adverbs, nouns, and whatever. But to have people just come in and sit, get off the pole, I want to beg, I want to talk to you after church, that is not of God. And no one can say I'm saved, because once a person is saved, now I really don't know what it means. I've been in the ministry almost 50 years. I told my mom at 7, I was going out with the name of Jesus on my tongue and in my mouth. I was 7 years old then. We lived across from the South Los Angeles mortuary. And Mama would let me go over there, and the mortuary group would let me go and see the dead, see how they're stuffing the body with big bells. Hey. So I don't say that I was saved for the work that I'm doing now, but when we talk about a person being saved, what are they saved for? How do they know they're saved? Did Jehovah God send them a note from heaven saying you're saved? That is really something, and I know we could fill a church up right now. It's almost 8:30 here in LA County. I know I could, because that would be a topic. How do I know I'm saved? You running there, you sitting there, you giving them your money, you causing trouble in between, and you saved. Colonel Harrison, that was beautiful what you brought out about these so-called lukewarm Christians. You ain't that. You ain't nothing. You ain't nothing, because Jesus said in Matthew 7, you know what, you can run your rank if you want to, but in that day, I'm going to say, I don't know you. I don't know you. And that can be a scripture that we could explore too. So Colonel Harrison has already said and proven scripturally, no, the dead, the Bible says in Isaiah, God don't even hear their prayers. Though they make many prayers, Isaiah 1 and 2, I do not hear them. So we're going to be getting into that. But right now, let's kind of finish up on this, because we have some good news for you. Dead or alive, play like you're alive when we start talking about this other information that we're going to segue into it. We've already proven, hopefully we have in your eyes and your sight. No, the dead ain't enjoying nothing. They going around in hypocrisy. Oh, yeah, I got a trunk full of alcohol. Oh, yeah, I got some good stuff to sniff. Oh, uh-huh, ain't he going to be cooking all that ham and chicken? You know what? That is nothing. Because after the Spirit of God leaves the body, Bible says the body knows nothing. He ceased to exist. The spirit that God gave him to move about and have his being returns to the maker. And, of course, the body returns to the earth. So, no, the dead cannot enjoy Christmas. Now, the spiritually dead, and moving away from this topic, Colonel Harrison, what should the spiritually dead? Now, if they're trying to enjoy Christmas, they've got some kind of consciousness about them. So how can the spiritually dead enjoy not only Christmas, but the rest of his days that God, Jehovah, is allowing him? What should the spiritually dead be doing now? Because we've established he really ain't about nothing enjoying Christmas. That's a form of worship to the one that was sent forth. What should the spiritually dead be doing right now if he wants to not only enjoy Christmas, but move out into 2024? Is there any advice you can give the spiritually dead before it is too late?
Yes, Dr. Constantine, I'm glad you asked. The spiritually dead should be searching for a way to find who God is, who Jesus is. Not searching or seeking for material things and the pleasures of this world, because true happiness and joy is only temporary and limited. They should be seeking to find their true identity, who they are, the purpose in which God, Jehovah, the Creator, created mankind to and for his purpose and his glory, to glorify him on and in the earth. So the spiritual dead should be seeking that. as they speak that, they'll find it, and they'll be able to become enlightened as to what their purpose is here on earth, and not just meandering or wandering and going through life and trials and tribulations and ups and downs and hardships and depression and discouragement and suicides and all that stuff because they're spiritually dead. We're three-dimensional beings, and I'll pause after this, Dr. Cappuccino, listen, we're three-dimensional beings. We're flesh, soul, and spirit. Our body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit part of us being three-dimensional beings are more important than the flesh and the soul. And so I wanted to just share that as consideration there, Dr. Cappuccino. Thank you.
Very, very true. Very, very true. And I'm so happy to hear that. Now, listen, we were going to have an additional 30 minutes this morning to talk about moving into 2024. With God's blessing and in his praise. But we had a little glitch here this morning, and they are still signaling that they're having some issues. So our normal time of 30 minutes, that's about all I see here. I'm looking at the dashboard now that we are going to be having. So our New Year's message, that is what Colonel Harrison and I will bring to you next Saturday, a New Year's message, and that will be an hour. Plan on being with us for an hour. I hope when I get off the dashboard I can set it up, because our tags were New Year, Christmas, Satan, Jesus, God, and Jehovah. We don't want to rob you of that, because we don't want you to lose sight of what 2024 is going to mean in America and nationwide for the world at large. So this special message will give you an opportunity to do some soul searching and get on board of our 2024 program. We will be mentioning International Platform for Peace, where you can sign up to be an ambassador. You don't have to leave your wheelchair or land in your bed on your back position to work with the International Platform for Peace. You'll be able, right from where you're at, to make known the excellencies of God and, of course, the vision that God had for not only planet Earth, but for the entire universe. This God is doing a great thing. You should be afraid even hearing me say that. He's getting ready to do a great thing. You see the signs. You see them, all the kings of the earth now have lined up to head off into the valley of Hinnom and Megiddo. That's what this is about. They're not really fighting each other. They're fighting God, and God has a surprise ending for them. Tune in next Saturday. Please don't miss Saturday. Invite your friends, your loved ones, your so-called unsaved relatives. Invite them to sit with us for 1 hour from 8 to 9 a.m. next Saturday and be able to be a part of this nucleus. Colonel Harrison is going to even offer a New Year's prayer for 2024 to get you ready to know what God would have of you, and of course what God in the name of Jesus would want you to do. This is no plaything. You played all 2023. You lied. You committed all kind of evil acts. God is still saying something to you if you're in the listening view of this line. Give him the praise and honor, especially after next Saturday, hearing what he would have you to do and why, and how you can lift up both arms and say hallelujah to God. That's a form of worship, and know that God has heard you. You don't have to play no guesswork. You'll know that for a fact. Colonel Harrison, aren't you excited about next Saturday's session?
Yes, very excited about next Saturday session, Dr. Cappuccino. Can hardly wait, and we're looking forward to just sharing with them and giving the people inspiration, encouragement, and giving them hope.
Yes, indeed. Bring your pen, your paper, your pencil, get on your laptop, whatever you have electronically, and be ready to take notes, because we're going to be mapping out an entire yearly schedule for you. Also, Bible through the week. We're going to introduce that for those that want to know what Genesis is about, what Nehemiah is about, what the book of Revelation is still about, what the major prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, what they have to say, and who are they in the stream of prophecy. You're going to learn something. You're going to hear some things that you never heard before. Be ready for 2024. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. I do see our signal is going off, so that means we're not able to move forward. Next Saturday, have everybody ready with a pad and pen. We're going to tell you something. And as I said, Colonel Harrison will offer the prayer blessings upon you. And I know everybody needs to have that. If you don't get a check in the mail for Social Security, you will need to hear this man's prayer of blessing that will lead you headfirst into 2024. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We love you, and we look forward to hearing and seeing you in spirit next Saturday on the Global Vision for Living Today show. God bless you.